That's right. Let's get to work here. Once again, it's Sunday evening. Welcome to Article 5 Live. I'm J.D. Smalis, your host, coming to you from the radio bunker somewhere in the formerly great state of Arizona. We're here every Sunday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, to give you our perspective for what it's worth to you. And many people come on in and like to share theirs as well with us. So welcome once again. I titled this multicast, The Nation Is Fallen. There's many reasons why you could say that. Now, many people think that this is a recent phenomenon. I happen to be of the belief that this nation has been fallen for quite some time. And what President Trump has done for us is pointed it out in stark relief to mainly to those who were not aware of the degree of corruption. Once again, welcome back, all my Facebook folks. I'm currently out of jail. We'll see if we can stay out of jail even after this broadcast. It's a challenge these days, as you know. No one knows how long they're going to be able to be on forums such as this with the, you know, with the beliefs held that this nation is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, and that we ought to follow our Constitution. This all of a sudden is controversial. We are now ruled. And Mike, you're supposed to call me. Call me anytime because you're my guest tonight, remember? Call me. Call me later after the monologue here. In 5 or 10 minutes, give me a jingle. I'll put you on the air. Many people think that in the tech world think that what I just said is controversial and I should be banned. Because I believe that we have free speech. Now, many libertarians and the so-called conservatives say that Facebook, Twitter are private companies. We have no right to demand they don't censor us. Really? These people are playing political favorites. They have censored all conservative talk and allowed Antifa, terrorists, any other kind of anti-American talk to go on and on and on unchecked. BLM, all the rest of them. But if you say something like, I think the E was heisted, you might get your account lost, censored, gone. Your voice is silenced. Or if you say something like, I think the C... the reaction did more harm than the CV itself. Boom, you're gone. If you say, and then their excuses, well, if you want that kind of speech, set up your own social media platform. So Parler did that. So the big boys conspired and racketeered to eliminate Parler. First, they take them off the App Store, so you can't put the application on your phone. Then they went ahead and cut their server. Well, that's okay. It's private, private company, right? They censor the president of the United States. Take him completely off. Oh, that's okay. Private company. I'll tell you something. Any private company that's more powerful than your government, owned by a few little people in their own interest, that is not a healthy situation by any means. This is why there is such a thing as antitrust laws. The position that social media has the right to do whatever they want to the people that they've begged us for our content, we give it to them. And then now that they make untold hundreds of billions of dollars off of all of our personal information that they sell to whoever they want to, whenever they want to, giving us nothing for it, then tells us we can't say what we want on their platform. I think this cost us our country, among other things, allowing this nonsense. Sadly, all the people that had their faith in a certain 17th letter of the alphabet are, many of them are reeling from the shock and disbelief that all their fantastical predictions did not come through. Me, I'm not shocked. I'm not reeling. I did not expect any of that stuff to come true. I had hoped it would, but I did not think it would. And so now, the ones that are still in denial are moving the dates forward. You know, now the next date is March the 4th, the original inauguration date of the Constitution. And, you know, when that date passes, they'll probably move it up to July the 4th or July the 2nd, something like that. You know, it'll go on and on because certain people cannot admit that what they hoped is not necessarily the truth. I hope I'm wrong about that. I hope, because, you know, most of those people that believed in the 17th letter of the alphabet are mighty fine people, and they are on our side, and they're God-fearing people for the most part, and they are our allies and our brothers and our sisters and our neighbors and our fellow warriors in the fight for justice in this nation. So I don't want to disparage anyone who got caught up in the 17th letter of the alphabet deal. I love these people. But I hate to say it. It's time to move on from that and fight the fight that we can fight with the tools we have. Because none of you with your inside information have any real inside information. And I never thought that you did. I had hoped I was wrong and that you were right. Believe me, my friends. So here we have a couple of things that we need to do on the show today. One of them is we have to comment on all the people that have thrown the president under the bus because they say he didn't enact the Insurrection Act. He should have done this and he should have done this. Now, I am not a sycophant. I will be the first one to tell you that President Trump made some very big mistakes in his presidency. One of the problems with being a neophyte politician and becoming president of the United States, you really don't know your way around well enough at first to know who can be trusted and who cannot be trusted. And to come to find out, a very, very, very high percentage of people in Washington, D.C. that claim to be conservative are not to be trusted by President Trump or any of us. A very, very high percentage. We're talking 95% perhaps. They're all full of crap. They are all backstabbing pieces of garbage. DC is a snake pit full of absolutely intolerable a-holes. And so, one of the main mistakes President Trump made was delegating authority to people he did not know personally, which you have to do when you're president of the United States, because the government is such a massive leviathan of intricate bureaucracies and offices. There's no way to get control of that stuff. Not even 4 years, probably not even in 8 years. I don't care if you're Superman. We've let our government get so completely out of hand that it's a really big, big juggernaut that cannot be fixed even by the likes of one of the most fantastic presidents in United States history, that is Donald J. Trump. You know, he's probably in the top three, even being a one-term president. I would have put him under George Washington had he been able to make the things happen that needed to happen for his votes for the second term election to be counted properly and still be in office right now. He'd probably be second to George Washington in my book. President Donald J. Trump did more of what he promised than any other president in history. That's any president in history. One term, two term, four terms. President Trump did more of what he said he promised he would do than any president in history. And he did this with the absolute 100% uncooperation of the Democrats, 95% against him in the media, about 65 to 75% against him in his own party, and most of the underlying deep state bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., numbering over maybe a million people, most of them against him as well. He still did more of his own promises than any other president in history. And he did it at great difficulty and great sacrifice, personal sacrifice. President Trump is an imperfect individual. President Trump is an honest warrior for what's right. Is he always right? Hell no, none of us are. He could have got away with every mistake he made except for one major mistake. There was about three biggies, but this one stands head and shoulders above anything he did wrong. And it was going along with the, I'm going to call it the CCPV, Communist Chinese Party V. And it's V-I-R-R-U-S, you know, that thing. Going along with that, and all the BS swirling around that thing. Now, as you recall, we were asked to lock down, stay in our homes, and close all of our businesses down. except for the big ones. The multinational corporations got to stay open. They were essential. But with your blood and sweat and tears that went into your mom and pop business, that's not essential. You can't just close that son of a bitch down. Okay. We all did this as Americans because we didn't know what we were up against. The CCPV seemed to be, we were told it would kill up to 5% of us. This is serious business, right? Well, soon these numbers didn't bear out, and we knew. And President Trump went public and said, I think we ought to undo the lockdown by Easter. You guys remember that? President Trump was speaking from his gut. His best attribute, by the way, when he said, we should reopen by Easter. What he should have done, instead of listening to the so-called experts, like that little hobgoblin Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx, the crazy scarf lady, and the WHO and all the other ones that are in on all this. He should have said, we're going to open it back up. I'm going to drop the national emergency on Easter and open all the government back up. And you governors, you'll do the same thing. Because the dangers of lockdown are worse than the dangers of the CCPV. This is what President Trump should have done. And then he said, if you don't open your states up, especially you blue states, wherever I can as the executive of this country, I'm going to cut your funding. Open up or you get your funding cut. That's what President Trump should have done. Guess what would have happened? Everybody would have opened up and all this BS would have went away. But instead, we keep getting fed all these false statistics. Everybody has the crap scared out of them about this virus. They kept killing old people in the old people's homes by making sure virus-ridden people were in there killing the old people so the numbers could be boosted up. That hobgoblin that they got for a new health and secretary or whatever is responsible for massive amounts of deaths in that state that it was from. Cuomo, the whole works. All right. So we're going over ground, as a Monday morning quarterback with hindsight of 2020. I realize that. But I had this gut feeling at the time that President Trump better open the country back up right away or we're in big trouble. Well, here we are a year later. He's out of office. And you have the biggest criminal, pedophile, husk of a demented old man that was is the occupant of the White House. It's like we're in the Twilight Zone. Boys and girls, it's Twilight Zone. Here we are. So, but what I'm getting at is we have to realize this is where we are. The knowledge level of the average American has allowed this to happen. We are indeed in big trouble. So, I already told you, I think the reason President Trump is not in the White House right now is because he did not reopen the nation last Easter like he should have. They would not have been able to pull off what they pulled off with the ballot box stuffing of fake mail-in ballots and all the rest of the stuff we're not going to relitigate here tonight. That wouldn't have been able to happen because everybody would have just went to the polls as normal. So here we go. Now we have this vaccine stuff, the V word. The V for the V, right? Well, the V for the V is, some say, has killed Hank Aaron. I don't know if that's true or not, but I can tell you this. Why would you want to put gene therapy disguised as a V-A-C-C-I-N-E into your body that has killed every animal they've tested it on? Number one, they don't want to tell you that. They skipped the animal testing because it was killing the animals. Okay. When they admit, they meaning the CDC and the WHO, say the CCPV, V-I-C-C-I-N-E, will not prevent you from getting COVID, and it will not prevent you from spreading COVID, whether you have symptoms or not. But yet here, take that jab, baby. And take it twice. Virtue signal your ass off and take that jab of that, this unproven technology they're calling a V-A-C-C-I-N-E that's actually gene therapy that's causing your genetic code to change directions and create a protein it would not create on its own. Now, if you think that's a good idea, you know, God bless you. But the hundreds and hundreds of medical professionals with multiple PhDs have tried to warn people about this, but they get censored. Why? Because they're the God of the universe, Bill frickin' Gates, has other plans for this world, which includes pumping this crap into every individual on the face of the planet. Now, one of President Trump's biggest mistakes was not opening the country back up, and then his second business mistake is falling for this whole fiasco. We're going to get that thing in there right now by the end of the year. Okay, President Trump. See, but it's easy to criticize him for that, but here's the thing. Trump's a CEO, not an expert on everything on the planet Earth. So when he has people that have been around 40, 50 years telling him this is what he's got to do, guess who he's going to listen to? He ain't going to listen to us. He's going to listen to those experts that have been around forever. Even if they're hobgoblins like Anthony Fauci, who turned out to be just a little creep, a little cretin. So you can fault President Trump for that. There's a lot of people going around saying that Trump should have invoked the Insurrection Act. And then after the stuff happened on the 6th, he threw all of us under the bus that were there and saying, go on home. You shouldn't have done that and all that. You know, all right. You guys really don't get what's happening here if you're going to blame Trump for that. Yeah, that took all of us by surprise. And in a minute, we're going to have a gentleman that was there. I was also there. Oh, we're full of trolls from the tweeter universe. Oh, isn't that special? You guys that are, can you see the chat? You guys can't see that are on Facebook. You can't see the tweeter chat, can you? Some of my listeners need to go on Periscope and deal with these weirdos there on Twitter, because I don't really have the time to deal with the ignorance. So anyhow, all of us who have been to multiple demonstrations and Trump rallies, I've been active in these kinds of things since 2010. I've never seen one conservative, right-winger, whatever the hell you want to call us, not even leave a piece of trash on the ground, let alone break something. So it was not part of our thought process that, oh, hey, they're going to hijack this thing, break windows in the Capitol, go in there and disrespect everything and take stuff. But we should have. We should have known. But let me tell you one thing, especially you you morons over there on, on Twitter. There was a 500,000 of us there. If we really want to do some damage to the Capitol, that building would not even be standing right now. We had enough anger and enough power and the amount of people we had. We could have took that building down if that's what our aim was. But that's not why we were there. We were there to try and help the wishy-washy Republicans have a spine and stand up for what is right. That's why we were there. And I'll tell you what else. President Trump asked us to be there to do that very thing. Not any of this other crap that they're telling you we were there for. And they put 80,000 troops and police there in the D.C. For the faux inauguration of the fake automaton occupant of the White House, the criminal Biden. Telling everybody, oh, we're gonna be all these people there. President Trump didn't tell us to go there. He told us to go home. Guess what we all did? We went home. We stayed home. Even in our own states, we didn't go to the state capitals. Why? Because fool us once. Shame on you. Fool us twice, shame on us. That's why. We got the message the first time. You're going to use it as a propaganda tool to come after anybody that ever supported Trump. We get it now. The First Amendment is dead. You're going to try and use that in a false flag to kill the Second Amendment, which protects all the other amendments. That's the left's plan. That's what they want to do. We're not going to do it. We're going to legally and lawfully voice our opposition to what's going on now. And we're going to fight our way back legally and lawfully and peacefully. And the left will overstep. It overplayed this hand to such a degree that even people that are Democrats now are going to say enough is enough, and they're going to come over to the correct side and fix this injustice. Because people want to live. People don't want their entire lifestyle just absolutely destroyed. Now, briefly before Mike V calls me, are you going to call me Mike V? Call me. Or I'll call you in a minute here if we take a break. Anyhow, briefly, I want to address third parties for a minute. There's a lot of controversy going on about third parties, particularly here in the formerly great state of Arizona. There's opinions that range from absolutely against it to absolutely for it and everything in between. And I want to address that because it's important. All right, you're on, Mike, but you're not on the air yet, so just hang tight and let me finish my point and win, and we'll bring you right into the discussion, sir. Anyhow, I want to address this third party issue for just a minute because I've been getting in personal fights with crusty old Republicans here in my own state that think that I don't know anything about the history of Barry Goldwater and all this other stuff I've been chided for because I don't like what's been going on in the Republican Party for the last 10 years. Oh, but you forget all that other good history. Well, listen, I didn't forget it. It's just those people aren't in power anymore. And there's always been a struggle between the criminal. All right, criminal might be a little too strong a word, but the cronyistic establishment part of the Republican Party and a constitutional side. There's always been a push-pull back and forth in this state for as long as I can remember between those two factions of the Republican Party here in this great state. And I imagine many of your states are going through the same thing or something similar. So since I've been really actively involved in trying to make something happen in our state here, you know, there's been crazy stuff. These people would never let go of John McCain, one of the worst senators in the history of the country, of either party. He's worse than most Democrat senators were, John McCain. But yet, the Republicans in this state, for some reason, want to cling to that guy, even after he's dead. They want to put McCain clones in his place. It's absolutely unbelievable. And when I criticize the power structure of the Republican Party, I get all kinds of flack from the old timers. And then, so I can't win. I've tried to support third party candidates. They take it a little too far. But everybody's pissed. They're tired of not having representation. They're tired of people that don't know what's in the Constitution and won't act accordingly. People in my state are sick of that stuff. So there's somebody trying to start a third party here. They try to go to the Republican election of the chairman, and they, you know, there's a big argument, bunch of point of order, a bunch of retards in the audience. Wouldn't even let the guy have 5 minutes to say his piece. And then they demonize him for even trying. I mean, it's the craziest thing I ever seen. So my main point is this. If we can organize, it seems impossible to wrest control of the GOP from the crusty old cronies that have control of it now, that like people like John McCain and Martha McSally and, all the, Doug Ducey, these cretins that have been the quote-unquote heads of the Arizona GOP. We're sick of that crap. We've been taking it and taking it ever since, Barry Goldwater, for God's sake, was the last decent senator we had. Well, that's not really true. There's been a couple of good ones. But for the most part, Republican senators are on the scale of milquetoast to radically horrible. That's the Republicans. We've had some Democrat senators that were better than a lot of our Republican senators here in the great state of Arizona, the formerly great state of Arizona. Hey, Mo, what are you doing, man? Good to see you, brother. I follow you all the time there on YouTube. You guys ought to follow Maurice Delk. Maurice Delk on YouTube. Great, great stuff. Welcome. Anyway, so I hate to go on and on about Arizona, but I want to get this point out because there's a big fight whether we should have a third party or not. And here's what I think about that. If we can have a third party that will caucus and organize with independents, libertarians, Trumplicans, regular Republicans, if they can all group together and be effective, well, hell yeah, we ought to have a new party, Patriot Party USA, sure. But if it's going to serve to divide what people we do have on our side and cause us to lose more elections to the Democrats, then no, now's not the time. But let me submit to you this. Trump's influence is in the base of the party, and it's only elites at the top that don't like Trump, that control the money, that don't want to change to another party, or don't change how the party operates. Look at Mitch McConnell going forward with impeachment of a president that's not even in office right now. How ridiculous is that? Who the hell could support that son of a bitch and asshole at this point? You got people in our party like Mitt Romney. He's a traitor, if you ask me. So, and I don't just mean, I mean that in a literal sense. So we're in big trouble in the Republican Party. I wish we could be like what Washington and Adams said. Don't do the party thing, because all it's going to do is cause greedy people to serve their own interests and the people gets lost in the shuffle. That's exactly what's happened with our two, especially a two-party duopoly we have now. Whereas you have the Democrats lead everything and the Republicans are content to be in the minority so they don't have any real power, but yet they can still claim to be the loyal opposition. They don't actually have to do anything. But they can say, I'm on your side because, you know, conservative, you know, Republican, those dirty darn Democrats shouldn't do that stuff. Meanwhile, they have no power and they don't want it, because when we give it to them, they do anything the damn Democrats do. So you wonder why people are looking at a third party? There you go. There's your sign, MF-er. There it is. So I'm really frustrated because I'm catching all kinds of hell from both sides of the Republican Party. The traditionalists are nailing the hell out of me, and the new party people don't like what I have to say either. I don't give a shit, to be honest with you. Anyhow, let's bring on our guest. Here's a guy who's been a faithful listener to the Article 5 Hour and Article 5 Live for many years. We're now joined by Mike V. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, JD. How you doing?
It's so great to hear your voice, and thanks for having the balls to show up in D.C., man.
Hey, I would have met up with you if my phone didn't get whatever they had going there to intercept the transmission. The phone was completely useless.
No, that's what happened to me, too. They had those SUVs parked all around town with the little black domes on the top of the black SUVs, jamming everybody's signal, man. I couldn't use my GPS. The only thing that worked sometimes was text. I couldn't take any live videos. I wanted to do lives. You couldn't do anything.
I couldn't do anything. The phone was useless. And I had met a fella in front of the Hyatt who drove up from Texas, and he does cybersecurity for the hotels. And he was telling me about the trucks with the domes. He goes, that's why I couldn't airdrop pictures or anything.
I know, it's crazy. And for those of you that just joined us, I want to say we have internet royalty in the audience tonight. Mo Rees-Delk is with us, and I appreciate him joining. Mo, if you want to call, I'm going to put my number up here. And when we're done with Mike V here, if you want to call in and give your perspective on things, that would be totally, totally, totally awesome. Let me, Mike, tell us some of your experiences in D.C. while I'm putting up the number.
Okay. I drove down there by myself. I met a woman from Manhattan that was down there at the Hyatt. Also met a few people out in front of the place at about 5:45 in the morning when I arrived there. And everybody I know that was going to that rally was going there to support the president, was there peacefully, and was going there on unarmed. So I also saw Antifa in the crowd and BLM in the crowd, and I know that whole thing was orchestrated, that whole attack on the Capitol.
I 100% agree with that. Now, did you go? See, I'll tell you where I was. I was at the, I was about 50 yards north of the Washington Monument.
Okay.
I was south of the third Jumbotron, okay? There's like three echoes going on with the speech and all that stuff. And it seemed like most of what our president was saying I'd heard before.
Yes.
And so I was hanging out through most of it. And when it seemed like it was starting to wrap up, I started to move out, because I had heard he's going to speak at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be relatively a lot closer to hear that. So I decided to leave before this speech was over because he said he was going to march with us over to the Capitol, as you recall, right?
Yes.
And so I got into about the front 20-25% of that enormous crowd. And
I was surrounded. People all around me. I couldn't even move.
That's right.
I had lost my friend in the crowd, and I had moved back a little bit out of the crowd, but I was near the Washington Monument, just off of the road by the bare trees there, you know?
Right.
And I moved around different spots, and I probably left toward the end of the speech too. I started walking back to the hotel.
Well, what we did is, me and I hooked up with a 71-year-old guy from Florida who I did the whole march over there with. We marched down Constitution Avenue.
Okay.
Now, there was a whole, Pennsylvania was full too of people. So it both came from over there. And when I got to the lawn, there was no barriers. There was no cops telling us not to come there. There was a few cops on the steps.
Uh-huh.
And they started tear gas in the crowd. And that, you know, I didn't see anybody fighting with cops and all the other videos that came out since. I didn't know about any of that stuff, you know?
Uh-huh.
And neither did anybody I was with. So when they started tear gassing us, guess what? That pissed everybody off.
Yep.
And there was no going back, as you were already stated, right? So what we did is we all went forward. Now, what we didn't know, there was already people on the other side of the White House, I'm not the White House, but the Capitol building, that were already in there and broke in already, and all that stuff was already happening. We didn't know that.
No.
So
I didn't know that was going on.
Right.
I wasn't even close enough to it.
So we got up to another spot that was closer, and you know, everybody stopped pushing forward and we were still in the grass. Then they hit us with tear gas again.
Unbelievable.
And then everybody started screaming, rah, like a battle cry, okay?
And Trump supporters don't scream and growl, you know that?
No, but we did then after getting tear gas. There was little old ladies with tear gas. There was a lady there in a walker coughing her ass off from the tear gas, okay?
God. That's horrible.
Yeah, so we were kind of pissed. So, yep. And there was mixed in with us the operatives that we didn't really know. Once we got all sandwiched into the sardine can, we started looking around and seeing people with respirators. And people say, let the guys with the respirators through. I'm thinking, who the hell brings a respirator to a freaking demonstration?
It was planned.
Yeah, no kidding. So by the time I found out I didn't want to be part of what was going on, there was no getting out of there, man. I didn't even know if I was going to be alive. I was getting smashed so bad, right?
You did get a good picture, the one that you have on your Article 5.
Yes, sir.
That was a great picture.
Well, I ended up making it all the way to the landing there. When I got up there, both the double doors were open. They weren't broken.
Uh-huh.
I found out later somebody that broke in the other side came and opened those doors.
Really?
And there were people walking in and out like nothing was going on. And it was like a big party on the landing. And I said, this not going to last. So I got up. I climbed a flight of, it looked like bleachers, but it didn't make any sense. They must have been scaffolding. And I got up to the edge and I snapped that picture.
Yeah.
And I was up there about a minute. And then here come the cops, you know, starting ushering everybody out of there. And I didn't give anybody a problem. I said, okay. I obeyed all orders and got the hell out of there instantly.
Yeah.
But then I went to my hotel. I'd had enough of that stuff from a whole lifetime. But that was my experience with the Capitol stuff, you know. And
yours was that you were in more of a danger zone than I was. That's for sure.
Well, it wasn't on purpose. I didn't know that was going to happen. Those people are nuts that did that stuff. And the people that follow the troublemakers in there, shame on them. And you know, but I can also, on the other hand, see it, because I can tell you in the state of Arizona here, I've been with my bullhorn inside the Capitol, screaming at the governor in my bullhorn in the lobby of the Capitol, screaming at the ninth floor. And
I've seen it.
Oh, you saw that? And all that happened to me is the police officer say, hey, you can have that bullhorn in here. Would you please step out with that? And I, of course, immediately said, yes, sir. And I went outside the door a few feet and continued to do what I was doing. So yep. I understand the idea that's the people's house and we should be able to go in there. And the way the some of the cops were treating us as if it was, you know, it was like a tour day or something. You know, it was like, it was a totally different thing to be there than what you heard. And when I started hearing the reports, I'm going, oh my God, that wasn't us. What city are they talking about? You know? So I didn't even know any of that stuff was going on like that. It's just crazy.
And JD, I've seen videos where Trump supporters were actually facing the same direction as the police, and they were stopping people from coming at the police.
Oh, absolutely.
Real Trump supporters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I that whole thing turned out to be such a mess, and the media just ran with the ball on so much bull crap. It's not funny.
That's true. And the saving grace here is that so many people, even though they couldn't live stream it, they still took recorded video of it. So there's thousands and thousands of video evidence out there showing that the Trump supporters were orderly. There might have been a few people that were overexuberant and went into the Capitol, but I would venture to say there's only a two or three of those that actually did any damage or any destruction. Most of them walked through there and said, hey, look at me. Here I am in the Capitol, you know, and that's all they really did.
Like the guy you mentioned that put his feet up on Pelosi's desk. He wasn't really doing anything wrong.
Not really. I don't think that guy should be crucified for that. But as I understand it, he's in big trouble for that.
Yeah, that's not
and, right. You know, Jake the Q Shaman, I know him personally, okay?
Uh-huh.
And not as a friend or anything, but I interviewed him at the 4th of the July 4th rally at the Arizona State Capitol, okay? Uh-huh. And he believes most of the things that we believe. You know, he jumps off into the metaphysical stuff, and he was trying to say that, you know, Q gives messages through electromagnetic bullshit. You know, that's fine. Whatever you want to believe, but I'm not going to be judgmental to anybody. You know, you want to believe that stuff, whatever makes you feel better. But, you know, and he really didn't do anything wrong, but he's got like 20 felonies against him right now, and he's sitting in a federal holding right now.
And yeah, I hope they don't make an example out of him because he doesn't really deserve that.
Well, it depends. You know, now Biden owns the crooked Justice Department, so no telling what they're going to do to all of us Trump supporters. If you've ever supported Trump, you're in danger of being prosecuted by this Justice Department. It's absolutely Orwellian or beyond. It's Animal Farm, Orwellian, all that stuff put together. It's Brave New World. It's all of that stuff. That's what we're facing, Mike.
Here's my true belief. Donald Trump had his heart into this whole thing, and he's actually a New York businessman, was very successful, and I don't think he likes when people step all over him, and I just feel that something's coming, and I hope I'm right.
Well, if you ever count Donald Trump done and out, I think you do that to your own peril, because Mr. Trump is a lot of things, but a quitter he ain't.
No, and he's not.
Not only that, you know, did you hear the former CEO of Overstock.com, who was the last few months he was in the Trump circle as an advisor about this election nonsense, and he actually said if Trump has a fault, he's too nice.
He is. That he is a nice guy. Even when he first came in, he said, I don't want to hurt anybody. And he meant it.
I know.
They just kept pushing and pushing. And I don't know anybody that could have handled the amount of crap he had to handle. And he did it.
Yeah, well,
I know. He is a nice guy. That's
he should have been... Well, I think that if he had to do over, he would do that nice stuff a little bit differently.
And I'll tell you, before when you were saying, well, he should have, you know, reopened it by, what was it, Thanksgiving?
Easter.
Easter, Thanksgiving, whatever. But you should be an advisor to him.
You know? I actually thought he was going to do it at the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm only a local, mostly a local. At the time, I was a local talk show host here in the Valley of the Sun. And, I thought he was going to do it. But he was referring to his experts, because you cannot be an expert on everything. Donald Trump is an expert on real estate development and business strategies and problem solving.
Yes.
And how he is the expert on problem solving is he finds what he thinks are the best people in those fields and takes their advice, thinks about it, and then acts on it. And that's what he did with the coronavirus. Unfortunately, those people are a bunch of charlatan people that have been trying to solve the same problem for 40 years, and the media drools all over him and calls him victory. Where is the AIDS virus, Fauci? I mean, where's the vaccine for AIDS, Fauci? You think you're a great problem solver, and you've been working on that problem for 40 years. Where's the freaking vaccine for that? Now we got this vaccine that alters your DNA, and we're supposed to be okay with that stuff.
Oh, I'm not taking that.
Man, I got to tell you, Trump made some big mistakes, and the biggest blunder is the CCPV reaction and the CCPV VACCINE. Those are the two biggest mistakes that Trump made in his otherwise damn near stellar tenure as president.
We were watching history in the making all along his whole presidency. He really is a good president, and I hope we see him soon back again.
Yeah, we could possibly, if we don't lose the ability to vote between now and 2022, which I think is, I explained last week on the show that, right now we're in a totalitarian regime.
Yes, we are. That's for sure.
And it's like a rocket. Like a Saturn V, okay? And what we've done is we're about 10 seconds past liftoff right now. The ground is shaking. The gantry is just falling away. The rocket is rising. And all the fires coming up all around and all that. And, you know what's going to happen in a few minutes? We're going to be going 15,000 miles an hour. And that's what a totalitarian regime does. So I question whether we will even have a vote in 2 years, let alone four.
I know. I also want to say one thing. The Georgia election with Perdue and Loeffler, they never corrected any voting problems with those machines. And I think they took that one too.
Well, I agree with that. And I think that is shameful and it's disgusting. And I have heard from immigrants and people from around the world that email me that say, what the hell are you guys doing?
Yep.
Do you know if you allow this stuff in your country, the rest of us are finished, because we always look for America to show us the way to liberty and freedom. And now we don't have any anymore.
No, I know.
And it's
not good.
We're in a place where we're having Germany right now has more sense than we do when it comes to the CCPV reaction. They are now in process of litigation to saying that lockdowns are a violation of rights in Germany, and we can't do that here.
I know.
And then we're supposed to believe that a VACCINE that they admit does not stop you from getting the 19 or passing the 19 to someone else.
Yeah.
Yet you're supposed to get this stuff in your arm twice.
I'm not taking it.
Now, ask me, ask yourself, if it doesn't stop you from getting it and it doesn't stop you from passing it on, why in the hell are you supposed to take it?
Yep, exactly.
Why aren't people thinking? I'll tell you why. It's because all the propaganda has people scared out of their wits about this thing. That's why.
I know. I know a lot of people who have a lot of fear of this COVID. I don't. I know I have to take precautions, but I'm...
You got to watch what you say, because they'll take this video down. That's why I spell stuff.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying, man.
I know. I saw that from the beginning of the show, JD.
Well, I'm just back from I'm just back from jail, man. So
I know. I thought you were going to be on Talking Heads. I didn't think you were.
Well, I am. I'm on both.
Okay.
I'm not on DLive and VR because I can only go out to 8 places.
Uh huh.
And my 8th place, I go to Restream.io, and Restream.io, I have DLive and VR on there. I don't usually get any listeners there, so I kept Talking Head and put it in the mix with all my other ones.
Okay, that's good. You got to get out there as much as you can.
Well, you know, Mike, I gotta figure out how to distribute this thing, because distribution and selling my program is not my gig. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm a live content creator. I don't process any of my things. I'm actually a talk radio host on a radio. So I just transfer that over to internet, and I don't really know how to market myself properly. But
you just got to get a few people that know how to do that.
Yeah, I got to hire somebody to do that for me. Or I got to get back on the AM radio too, because that was, I seemed like I was reaching more people that way, you know.
Hey, I was hearing you in New York, and you were broadcasting out of Arizona.
Right. Yeah, I know. And, you've been listening to me for a long time, man.
Over 5 years, I think.
Yeah, well, and a lot of the people that listen to me have been listening to me from the beginning, I was accused. Let me just share this with you. After I've been attacked for suggesting we might go to a third party if we can be effective that way, and if it doesn't help hurt the overall effort of beating the Democrats, I was attacked by being, saying how much of a, you're not much of a statesman. For Christ's sake, I never claimed to be a statesman. I'm an opinion guy with a big mouth and a big enough ego to share my opinion with you, whether you ask for it or not. But other than that, I certainly don't consider myself a statesman, but I have been observing politics for half a century.
And you know what you're talking about, too, because, like I said, I've been listening. I've been hooked on it and listening for a long time.
Well, and I try to bring a perspective that you're not going to hear from all the other talking heads who bore the hell out of me, frankly. And I like to throw in, like last week, we talked about why the 17th Amendment is the devil's spawn. It really is.
Yep.
Because it stopped people being interested in their local legislatures. And now look what we have with the COVID nonsense. You have your local legislature and government taking your business away, locking your ass down, and just basically killing local commerce over a problem that would have went away better if we just ignored it and dealt with it up front, took the hit, and be done with it.
Yep.
Just like, who was it that did that? Sweden did that. Guess what? They're totally free today. They can walk the streets without a stupid mask on. They can go eat in a restaurant. They can go to church if they want. They're not doing any of the stupidity that we're doing here in the United States of America.
Do you remember the SARS virus?
Of course.
Okay. I went to Canada.
I didn't buy into that crap either.
I went to Canada, and I get to the customs, and I go to show them my passport. No, it was just my license. I didn't need the passport. And a hand comes out with a glove on and hands me a SARS pamphlet and says, "Have a nice visit."
Well, at least they did that. I mean, yeah. I mean, they didn't say put a mask on. Let me take your temperature. Nothing. Here's a travel advisory. We're going to give you a 14-day quarantine. And then here's a shot that doesn't do anything, but we think you ought to take it just because maybe it'll make you feel better. But it'll certainly make Bill Gates richer.
That's all. And he has a lot of farmland, too. So we got to watch what we buy now in the way of food. I hear he bought up a lot of farmland.
Hey, let me see. Maurice Delk, are you still with us over there? Give me a comment in the chat if you are, and then we'll bring you online if you are here. Let me know. And if so, we'll finish up with Mike here and put you on if you have something to say. If not, that's cool too. I appreciate you being there. So anyway, Mike, what else do you want to share? Do you think that what do you think about what's your opinion on what we ought to do going forward? As I don't even like to use the word conservative anymore because it's so misused, as patriots that love the Constitution, other than staying calm, keeping our powder dry, what do you think we ought to do?
I think we should, and you had said this before, primary all the ones that didn't go along, you know, to help Donald Trump, primary them out, and just we need better people in the GOP. There's a lot that are good, but there's also a lot that are bad. That the GOP needs to be cleaned up. And as far as another party, that could divide the vote more and you know, give us bigger losses. That's what I think.
Yeah, you know, and since you're a regular listener, you know that has been my position 100% until just the last couple of weeks, where I realized that the leadership of the GOP is not going to allow us, the people of the GOP, to put our constitutional candidates in.
Well, that's not good.
And that is why I am open to the idea
of a
third party that will collaborate with Republicans that want to stay Republicans but want constitutional candidates instead of the, you know, the cronyistic establishment Republican types that in many cases don't even have a prayer beating the Democrat, like what happened here in the state of Arizona. I was real. How many times did I warn you guys about Martha McSally? Can you count them?
Yes. She wasn't going to get in.
Well, you heard you were a listener. You know, every week I'd go on the radio and say, Martha McSally's not going to beat the astronauts. She couldn't beat the communist. She couldn't beat the communist Kyrsten Sinema. How the hell is she going to beat an astronaut? Most people do not immerse themselves in the politics the way you and I do. So to many Americans that are above the age of 30, an astronaut equals hero. Doesn't give a shit which party it's in. You know, whoops, there's another S word. You know,
I'm controlling my tongue.
Well, you're doing better than me tonight. I try to keep it PG-13 because I don't rate this broadcast that's not for kids. I would like it to be able to be for kids, so I try not to do that. Anyway, so my point is this. Anybody over the age of 30, astronaut equals hero still. And most people aren't political. So how are you going to get a milquetoast, not zero fire in the belly Republican that was never a Trump supporter and was reticent after she needed to show support for Trump? She was still very half-hearted in that regard.
And he backed her.
And he backed her because he had to play party politics, right?
Yep.
Against the candidate that might have had a chance against Mr. Kelly there. You know, we had Daniel McCarthy, who was a fire-breathing conservative constitutionalist.
And he's still fighting. He's
the one trying to start the third party now, but he's still a registered Republican. And he's not going to change that until that's the last result. That's the last thing he can do. So... So the thing of it is, it's so frustrating to be berated by these antiquated Republicans that have been around forever. And I'm one of those people, but I'm not closed-minded. I don't cling to the John McCains and even the John Kyles, for goodness sake. John Kyle was an okay guy. He didn't do too much damage, but what good did he do us?
None.
Right. So we need fire-breathing, firebrand conservatives like Barry Goldwater. And you know what? Daniel McCarthy had that quality about him.
Yes. I've seen him quite a few times. I've seen him on the show. He would have been a good candidate.
Yeah, he was a great candidate. But he got zero support from the Arizona Republican Party.
Well, that's in the party right there in Arizona. That's the problem.
And I'm sure Arizona's not the only state that is suffering this phenomena. How, no. Well, look at Georgia, for God's sake.
I know. Pennsylvania, too.
Yeah, and there's some really, really good people in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
There's you know, Bobby Lawrence comes to mind.
Yes.
And, you know, he's not running for anything, but he's a mover and a shaker, and he makes stuff happen in the Republican Party over there in Pennsylvania. He's been on the show many times. I met him in person. Oh, hell, when did I meet him? I'm going to say 2015 at a rally in Phoenix. He's flying all over the country trying to warn everybody about the compact to make an end run around the Electoral College. Yeah. Hardly anybody knew about it until he went nationwide on his own dime telling people about it.
Yep. He was a big supporter of the Electoral College vote.
Indeed. And yeah, so I didn't get
a good guy, Bobby.
Yep. I didn't get any a text from Mo, so he probably don't want to come on, but that was pretty cool because that guy gets, you know, he gets 125,000 views on his video, so it was kind of cool to see him jump onto this multicast. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I would have liked to seen that.
Everybody should
go right back to the computer and listen to him.
Well, you know, he's one of our many in the African American community that supports conservative values and common sense and stuff like that. And I used to listen to him all the time when I had more time.
Uh-huh.
And I'm subscribed to his channel, and his video pops up on my phone all the time, you know, when he makes one. So it was cool to see him come on here because he's been at it a long time. He's pretty popular. He knows how to promote himself and get views. And I just haven't focused on that. So I'm going to do that a little bit right now. I want every one of you guys that's ever listened to this show now or in the future or what you pick this podcast up, please go to my YouTube channel, Article 5 Live. Subscribe to that. Please go to my Facebook page, Article 5 Live. Like that and turn on the notifications of both things. Go to my Twitter. I'm still on Twitter because, you know, I still have a few hundred followers there. Most of them are gone, but I still have a few hundred because everybody left Twitter. But I need all the distribution I can get, and they haven't censored me, so I'm still there. I get a bunch of retards from Twitter always telling me how, you know, making fun of the size of my sexual organ as if they know what that, you know, if they know what that is, you know, and my sexual orientation. But, you know, that's the kind of intelligence I get from Twitter generally. I don't know why all the political retards hang out on Twitter, I guess. So, but
that's due to lack of information. They have nothing else that they could really say or debate.
Well, they've only listened to one side. So when they hear somebody say something else, they think, oh my God, this guy's crazy. But see, that's the difference. And I say this a lot, you guys, the difference between we on the right and those on the left that are hard left, we've listened to both sides.
Yes.
And made a choice what we thought was correct. The left, every single time they hear something that comes from outside of their echo chamber, they dismiss it out of hand without even considering there might be people, sane people, that think that way, okay? And we on the right don't do that. We listen to the left. And even in some cases, very rarely, but some cases, we actually agree with some of the things that they're doing. You know, we're not We're not so stuck on that paradigm that we can't actually judge each individual issue on its own merit, no matter who's for or against it. It's called intellectual honesty, okay? And many people on the left, most people on the left, have 0% of that. It's crazy. So
let alone common sense, JD.
Well, that, you know, that died a long time ago. He wrote a book called The Death of Common Sense, if you recall. I'm also on Twitch, you guys. Article 5 Live. I'm on the Periscope or the Twitter is Article 5 Hour, like the old radio show. I haven't changed the account. So all my Facebooks. Oh, and I want to plug my Facebook group, because you guys on Friends of Article 5 are the best. Let me tell you, I got 4 or 5 contributors to that group that put so much information into that group. They post and post and post. Everything you want to know what's going on in the world, you can see on Friends of Article 5. So go ahead and sign up for that. It's a great group. You don't have to go anywhere else, because all these great posters I have in that group put everything there is on there. So, you know, you join up for all the stuff and help this help to distribute this broadcast, because it actually does have a little bit of uniqueness to what all the other talking heads you hear out there. At least I think so, because now I hear you first, you hear first hand testimony for somebody that was at DC other than myself. Right here on the phone with you, Mike V from you're from New York, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
You're from are you from Queens or the Bronx?
No, I'm on Long Island.
Long Island, that's right. You told me that before.
No, Long Island.
Long Island, yes. And you know, that's a beautiful place, but boy, oh boy, you guys had a gang problem there, and Trump was all over that, right?
I've confronted BLM right on my own block. And I'm in a suburban, you know, just a middle and upper middle class suburban neighborhood.
It's probably pretty darn nice. You know, I was shocked to see the condition of parts of D.C.
Oh, God, I hate that place. I would never want to live there.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, I stayed about a mile and a half north of the Capitol.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I went down to the Ellipse, I walked west a little bit, and then I took New York Avenue down to the Ellipse.
Okay. I don't even know the names of the roads.
Well, that's one of the angled streets, you know. It's not one of the straight, it's not one of the grid streets.
Yes. I just marched with a bunch of patriots from the Hyatt right up to the Capitol.
Right on. So,
and I was looking for you too. I was looking to see if I saw you coming along, you know?
Right.
And I didn't.
Well, there's so many people there. It was unbelievable how many people were there, you know? I was just,
there was a lot.
For once, I could hear you real good there for a minute. What happened?
Oh, why? You don't hear me good?
Well, I hear you, but it could be a little louder, but you're okay.
Okay, because I'm in the kitchen with my speakerphone on.
Oh, okay. Well, for a speakerphone, it's not bad at all, because usually speakerphone really sucks. But so you're doing good. Anyway, what I was going to say about D.C. was, you know, listen, man, when you're right down there in the Capitol Complex and, you know, the National Mall and all that stuff, that's actually quite impressive. I mean, I was really taken aback by how impressive that stuff is in person. Okay.
Yeah.
But
there was some of the buildings are beautiful over there.
Oh my goodness. But all you have to do is get a mile away from that. And you know, there's Tent City under the bridge. There's human feces on the sidewalk. You know, it's not so good, but I do want to give a shout out to on the 5th over by Freedom Plaza. There was a restaurant that was open. It wasn't supposed to be, I guess. Ollie's Trolley. Okay. And he had burgers and stuff like that. It's kind of it's a one-off place there. Ollie's Trolley let all of us in there. Didn't make us wear masks. served all of us food. They were relatively quick, considering there was 200-300 people in there in this place that should have been 150. Unfortunately, the cops walked in there and started taking pictures while we were there. I don't know what ended up happening. I hope Ollie's Trolley is still in business. But we were cheering those guys for service because there was no place to eat. You know, everything was shut down.
Yep.
But these people were open. They're feeding us. So that was really cool. That was one of the bright spots, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, I was what I was taken aback by, D.C., was the rudeness of the police, the rudeness of the general population. The lying, you know, they must be able to pick an out-of-towner out from, you know, 1,000 miles away. Because they'll lie to you and tell you, oh, yeah, just park right over here. There's no parking over there.
There's no parking.
Yeah, even my hotel clerk lied to me about where I could park my car. I spent 4 hours trying to park my rental car. So when I finally got a parking space, I didn't move that car the whole time I was in D.C. 3 days.
That's what I did. I went as soon as I got to the Hyatt, I put it in the parking garage, and it stayed there till I left.
Yeah, because you were never going to get another parking spot again, dude. So
there's nowhere to park in D.C. Nowhere.
I ended up parking right across the street from the hotel. Because I had paid two homeless people to scout for me at the end of the 4 hours. And finally, one guy comes running up and, hey, that guy's getting ready to leave right across the street. Get ready. So I flipped around, waited for him to pull out and ducked right in there. But then I was still paranoid because it didn't really look like a parking space. So then a D.C. police came by. I says, hey, can I park there? He says, what? I said, can I park there? He says, what do you mean? I says, is it okay for me to park there? It's a parking space, isn't it? I mean, that was one of the nice cops, okay?
Yeah. So I had no problem with the cops because I got in there. I was there at 5:45 in the morning, and by 7 o'clock, we were marching up there.
Oh, yeah. I spent a couple of extra days there. I got there Monday, and I left Thursday night.
Yeah.
So anyway, man. I got to tell you, that was an experience of a lifetime. And I experienced the last day of freedom in the District of Columbia. Now it is a lockdown, totalitarian, military state. It's always been a military district, but now it's totally under siege. And it's not likely to change for a while now.
Oh, I hope it does, but we'll see what happens. I don't know.
You and I were there the last day of freedom was known in Washington, D.C.
That's true. That is true.
And I salute you, my brother from another mother from Long Island, for being there.
Yeah, I was going. As soon as I heard Donald Trump asked us to go, I was going.
Listen.
I got in my car and left here at 11:30 on the 5th, and I was there at 5 in the morning.
I hear you, brother. And I got to tell you this. Trump came to Arizona. Geez, I lost track probably a dozen times, maybe more. I didn't go to any of those. But when he said, you know, it's going to be a big deal on the 6th. You come to D.C. on the 6th. I was sitting here in the studio thinking about, oh, my God, how am I going to get to D.C.? And I can't take off and all this and that and the other. And a couple hours of just agonizing over this. And Mama came in the room. She said, you got to go to D.C.
And she was right. You had to go. She knows you.
Exactly. So, you know, man, it was a big deal. And I'm glad you were part of it. I'm glad.
I wish I had gotten a chance to meet you in person, but maybe next time.
Well, I could have brought you on the show if you wanted to use your laptop and we could be face to face on the broadcast. But the only reason I don't do that, I'll tell you why I shy away from that is because my listeners on Podbean Live, I can't seem to get the audio to them. Because I'm asking too much of my mixer board to split the USB feeds from this one to the other one. And I'm not using OBS, OBS takes a lot of setup that I haven't had the time to do yet. So I'm using YardStream instead. So, you know, they have the online studio and you can just click where you want it to go and you don't need a bunch of bandwidth either. So, so that, you know, there's reasons why I don't like to do that, but we could have done that maybe next time.
Yeah, we could do that another time. I'm in it for the duration.
Well, it's
I'm there every Sunday.
Well, I want to thank you for trying to hook up with me while we were there in the District of Criminals. Although they did impede our communication abilities.
Yes.
And that was no accident. There was a few people that had some little obscure carrier that were still getting service, but I had Verizon, and that's not the best on the East Coast anyway, is it?
I don't know. I have AT&T, but and they were jamming me. So I don't think it matters what provider you had. They were going to get you.
Well, out here in the West, Verizon is king. I can go out in the middle of nowhere, and I have service. And no one else is able to do that out here. I can go out 40 miles from any town or any highway and still get phone service with Verizon. So I was shocked when I didn't have any over there, but then I found out they were jamming everything, and that was not cool.
That messed me up because I wasn't able to do a lot of things without the phone.
Well, yeah, you don't even know how the hell to get back to your hotel. I was miles away.
I know.
So I called a Lyft on the night of the 5th. I called a Lyft driver, right? So I ended up having to walk 3/4 mile to meet up with my Lyft driver because the cops wouldn't let him come down and pick me up where I was. And then he drove me about 3/4 mile to my hotel, which took 45 minutes. I should have just walked, man, but I couldn't figure out how to get home.
Yeah.
I was cold and tired and I'm an old man and it was a bitch. It really was. But you know what? I'm so glad that you had the opportunity to come down there. I'm so glad that, God allowed me to go on that sojourn and bring experience to our listeners. That was actual firsthand experience and not all the propaganda that the media is portraying about. But there's a lot of good information on the social media that's been allowed, I have to say, that's exonerated the whole effort to a large degree. So people aren't necessarily buying into that we're domestic terrorists or any of that BS. So that's good. Mike V from Long Island. I want to thank you for joining us tonight here on Article 5 Live and being our guest tonight and sharing your experience in DC. Godspeed to you, brother, and let's fight the good fight.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and good talking to you, JD.
Yes, sir. We'll do it again sometime.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Mike.
Take care.
Mike V, everybody. Yeah, man. I got to say, there's so many good listeners to this multicast that's been with me for years and years. I want to thank you all. Please subscribe to all my stuff. Keep this broadcast alive. Don't forget the Twitch, the YouTube. The Twitter is Article 5 Hour still, like the old radio show. Twitch is Article 5 Live. YouTube's Article 5 Live. All five of the Facebooks are Article 5 Live. Oh, wait, no, there's my personal Facebook. There's my public figure, Jay's Facebook. There's my Facebook group. And there's my personal feed, JD Smalis. There's another JD, I'm not going to say. There's five Facebooks that live broadcast. So anyway, you guys, we covered the third party conundrum, and that's a proper use of the word conundrum, whether we should go third party or not. I say yes, as long as we can get good Republicans of rank and file that are sick of the rhinos at the top to come over and join us and leave those rhinos with no power. I'm all for it then. All right, so yes, I'm flying the United States flag upside down in my studio. I don't think I have to explain to anyone why. Yes, we did go over the major mistakes of one of the greatest presidents in American history, Donald J. Trump. One mistake he made cost him a second consecutive term, and that is going along with the CCPV reaction, lockdowns, V-A-C-C-I-N-E-S, bad business, bad mojo, bad decisions, all. Some say the CCPV V-A-C-C-I-N-E killed Hank Aaron. Because he died a week after the second pop. And he was otherwise very healthy, older man. I don't know. Why should you take a V-A-C-C-I-N-E when they admit it will not prevent you from contracting the CCPV? It will not prevent you from passing the CCPV to another person, but yet they want you to take that V-A-C-C-I-N-E. Ask yourself why that is. Also, before we close tonight, ask yourself this question. Look up the total amount of deaths in the United States of America in 2019. Then adjust that number by the population growth rate and other factors, and then look at the total amount of deaths in 2020. And you will find that even though there is a larger number of deaths in 2020, there should be even more, without any pandemic, there should be more deaths than there were. If we stop the nonsense, we may now be allowed to die again of the flu or emphysema or a stroke or of a heart attack or of all the other causes of death that have fallen off the cliff. All of a sudden, we've eradicated the flu. Some idiots say it's because the mask wearing and all the alcohol stuff. That's how we eradicated the flu. No, we eradicated the flu is because we started counting all the flu cases as CCPV cases. And it doesn't take a mathematician, a statistician, or those freaking doctors to figure that out. It takes somebody with fourth grade mathematics or arithmetic skills to figure that out. Why is the American public not using those fourth grade arithmetic skills? Some might say it's because of Common Core math. just a funny there, you guys. I don't know why. Maybe it is truly the death of common sense. I don't know. We shall continue to fight the good fight. And as a matter of fact, we have not yet begun the fight in the immortal words of the founder of the United States Navy, John Paul Jones. We have not yet begun the fight. Look out, lefty-tards. We're coming for you, politically, that is. God bless the United States of America. God help the United States of America in our current state of distress. May God continue to bless you and your family. And the best president in my lifetime and yours, Donald J. Trump and his family. Thank you, Mr. President, for your efforts. We love and respect you. We'll be back next week in Article 5 Live with some more surprises. See you then.